Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. A congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 60, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. To thee I lift my soul, in thee my trust repose. My God, put me not to shame before triumphant foes. And what follows, Psalter 60, the first three stanzas. The portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, the verses 1 through 21. But first we will read the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. John 14, the first 21 verses. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go ye know, and the way ye know. Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If ye had known me, ye should have known my Father also. And from henceforth ye know him, and have seen him. Philip saith unto him, Lord, shew us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus saith unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that has seen me has seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Shew us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. If ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another Comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, and neither knoweth him, but ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless, I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but ye see me, because I live, and ye shall live also. At that day ye shall know that I am in my Father, and ye in me, and I in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him, and will manifest myself to him. Thus far the scripture reading. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord of the heavens and of the earth, when by renewal on this Sabbath day we have gathered together in thy house of prayer, may it please thee by the immediate working of thy Spirit to make it a house of prayer indeed. Thou knowest most perfectly how that each and every one has come up. May there have come up with a true need, with a true desire, after thee the living God, our Lord. Thou knowest how poor we are of self, but may it please thee to pour upon us the spirit of prayer and of supplication and of thanksgiving. Then thou hast left many good things amongst us. Thou yet maketh a difference with us in our children, with most of the people upon the earth. Wilt thou open thy windows for the hungry and for the destitute? Remember the suffering, the great multitudes in hospitals, upon a sick, upon a deathbed, many in institutions of mercy, a great numbers in prison, and the great multitudes that have not thy holy word, the truth thereof. And then what maketh us to differ? Then in our deep fallen Adam we have departed from thee, to never return unto thee. And nevertheless in thy great goodness, then thou wast still left the truth of thy holy word amongst us and our children. May it please thee to keep us under the same. But, our Lord, if that truth is not applied, then it shall have to testify against us forever and ever. And to that end, may that truth, by thy Spirit, may it be experienced. And may that truth, as it is in thy dear Son, may it set us free, our Lord, to that end. We humbly ask thee for thy help in speaking and in listening, Thou knowest how poor we are, but may it please Thee to be a surprising God. May it be granted in this evening hour that we may be given to believe what we speak, and to that end speak what we believe. O wilt Thou grant many Aarons and Hurs to that end, and our Lord, may Thy word be blessed, that in this evening for the first time, that in our lives by Thy Spirit, that Thou may become the only, the true, the living, and the eternal God, and that we may learn what black and vile sinners we are, and that Thy justice requires that each sin must be punished with temporal and with eternal death. Ah, Lord, may it please Thee to pour out Thy Spirit richly, that it may be this Thy set time for sinners, that they may be stopped, that they may be turned, that they may be pricked in their heart, and that they may become a true seeker. Oh, do convert our little boys and our little girls. Convert our youth. Convert the middle-aged. And convert the elderly. Wilt Thou spare us that we build not upon sandy foundations, but wilt Thou remember also Thy people? Thou knowest where they are encamped. May they be given to hear what they have received. May they not despise the day of small things, but may they also be given to hear what they miss. Ah, may it be granted in the life of Thy children, that close, that tender, that dependent life. Abound as poor sinners, because Thou hast declared in Thy word, I have left in the midst of Thee a poor and an afflicted people, and they shall trust in the name of the Lord. And, ah, Lord, that trust that is a gift from Thee, which Thou grantest by the immediate working of Thy Holy Spirit. And may Thy Zion need Thy dear Son more and more, as their prophet to instruct, because Thy people have to experience that they are so ignorant in heavenly ways, and it is Thy way to lead Thy children in those unfathomable and in those mysterious ways. And may they be given to need Thee more as that atoning High Priest, but also as the praying and thanking High Priest at the right hand of the Father. The disciples have prayed, Lord, teach us to pray, but more and more to need Him as that mighty and eternal King in that great warfare against that triple-headed enemy. Bless the many means of grace in the midst of the church. O wilt Thou help, remember, strengthen, and encourage the consistory to that end. O wilt Thou bless the catechism classes, the confession of faith class, the house visitation, and the manifold labors in so many diverse ways in the midst of the congregation. It all awaits for Thy blessing. O wilt Thou help fathers and mothers with the instruction of their children, as they have promised with the baptism of their children, as it is declared in Thy holy word. And may it be accompanied with unceasing prayer and an example according to thy holy word. Bless also the labors in the midst of the Christian school. Wilt thou remember the school board and their weighty and responsible task? And may it be accompanied with much prayer. Wilt thou continue to grant traveling mercies from day to day and from week to week? And may there be times in the lives of parents that they may be given to see thy special hand therein. When in the afternoon hour, that their children may return safely to their dwellings. We commend unto thee the administration. Wilt thou bless thy holy word? When it daily may be opened, wilt thou make it a blessing to the hearts of young and old, Lord, in the latter days of the earth? And may it please thee to yet do a great work amongst us and our children. Remember the nations of the earth in the midst of all the turmoil, in the midst of all the troubles, in the midst of the great falling away, where the signs of the times may be noticed. May we be given to see it, and may a hastening be born for our life's sake, while there's yet a today, because there shall come for each and every one of us, that there shall come a day that it shall be a last today, and that time shall be swallowed up into a never-ending eternity, Lord. Remember our poor nation, the leaders thereof, when we sink away under thy judgment, the judgment of the hardening of the heart, the greatest judgment that can come upon a people, and a judgment that precedes the judgment of destruction. And, O Lord, who shall live when thou doest those things? It is written in thy holy word that the time has come, that the judgments must begin at the house of God. May we and our children be given to repent from our worldly and evil ways while it can yet and while it may yet. We commend the many temporal needs. May it please thee to provide for our daily bread. Wilt thou help the fathers to that end? May they be given to need thee. May they be given to see thy hand therein. We may acknowledge thee that at the moment that there is not one in the hospital, but wilt thou remember all the sick, all the afflicted, all under the doctor's care. Can be many fears, many concerns, many times when they are overwhelmed. Remember the sick relatives, may it please thee to surround them with thy care and with thy compassion. And may the outward afflictions be used in thy hand, that sin-sick souls by thy grace, by the work of thy Spirit, that they may be brought under the hand of the heavenly physician, to be healed to the uttermost. Do uphold all the mourning ones. Remember the elderly ones in the evening of their life. Eternity cannot be so far away above all. May it please thee to save their never-dying soul. Remember the scars, the crosses, the burdens, the difficulties in family life. Ah, may thou grant that love may be that love may abound, and that thy word may have authority amongst us and our children. Lord, remember those that have departed from us, and that are seeking it elsewhere, another religion or in the world. Ah, thou art able to bring them back. May the prayers be multiplied to that end. Ah, keep our youth and the older ones under that old truth, aware for our forefathers have sacrificed much, have sacrificed everything, who have even shed their blood. Lord, we now humbly ask thee, dwell richly amongst us, grant tokens of thy favor. May it please thee to go from bench to bench, and from heart to heart, leave none of us cold, untouched. Wilt thou extend thy kingdom, break down the kingdom of Satan? And then by renewal, Lord, we must confess that we absolutely have nothing to plead upon. Our sins are great and manifold. We are such unthankful creatures, but may we be given to plead upon thy mercy, as it is in thy dear Son, thou was said by the prophet in the days of old, that I do it not for your sake, O house of Israel, but I do it for my great name's sake. Do it then in this evening hour. Forgive us of all of our sins in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalter 266, the stanzas 1, 2, and 3. God is king forever, let the nations tremble. Throned above the cherubim, by all the earth adored, and what follows. Psalter 266, the three stanzas. Thank you. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. And then we wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, a Lord's Day number 8, the question and answers 24 and 25. Question 24, how are these articles divided? Answer, into three parts. The first is of God the Father and our creation. The second, of God the Son and our redemption. The third, of God the Holy Ghost and our sanctification. Question 25, since there is but one only divine essence, why speakest thou of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Answer, because God has so revealed himself in his word that these three distinct persons are the one only true and eternal God. A Lord's Day number 8 speaks of the one only and triune God. With three thoughts in the first place, one divine essence. In the second place, three divine persons. And in the third place, three divine works. The one only and triune God, one divine being, three divine persons, and three divine works. Beloved congregation, in Lord's Day number 7, then we have heard it, there was spoken of true saving faith. The hand that the Lord by his Spirit gives unto his child, that he may receive what the Lord granteth. Then Reverend Hellenbrook, when he speaks of true saving faith, then he lists three characteristics. In the first place, knowledge. In the second place, assent. And in the third place, trust. Thus that means that it is not a blind faith, but that the child of God needs a knowledge of what he may and what he must believe. And to that end, in Lord's Day number 7, in the last two questions and answers, then in question 22, what is then necessary for a Christian to believe? Answer, all things promised us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith briefly teach us. And now in this Lord's Day, then there is a beginning of those 12 articles, also called the Apostolic Creed. That does not mean that each of the apostles has formulated one of those 12 articles, but that in those articles is confessed what the apostles of Jesus Christ, what they have taught and declared in the Holy Scriptures. History tells us that the 12 articles, as we have them in our Psalter and in the midst of the churches, that they can be traced back, perhaps, to the 12th century. It seems that those 12 articles, which are Trinitarian, which speaks of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, that they come from the command which Christ has given unto His church. In Matthew 28, verse 19, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Then history tells us that those 12 articles have originated from a confession when a people has come into the church, and when they would be baptized, that they were given to make a confession concerning the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. The 12 articles, they are one of the ecumenical creeds, that means boys and girls, a universal creed that is professed in all Christian churches upon the world, even churches that have many a heir. Those three creeds, the R, and in the Confession of Faith by Gideon de Bree, which was formulated in 1561 in Article Number 9, then it is confessed at the church that they hold on to those three creeds. Then, of course, we must make a separation from those three creeds, from the three forms of unity, which has been adopted in the Reformed churches as a banner concerning the truth of God's holy words. We live in a day that many times you may meet people and that they declare, we have nothing to do with creeds, nothing to do with the forms of unity. We have only the Bible, and that is true. Thus saith the Lord, and it can sound very orthodox. But many times the intention is that fallen human nature and our darkened understanding, that they minimize what the Lord in His providence has given unto His church. Many times in the way of persecution, where they have even sacrificed their lives, where they have searched the Word of God, and to that end creeds and the forms of unity were written for the proper understanding of the doctrines declared in the Word of God. And nevertheless, heaven said that when we consider those creeds, when we consider the forms of unity, we may never, never place them above or even on an equal place to the Holy Word of God. But they are subject to the Word of God. And therefore, when we read the forms of unity, then each time our forefathers, they have proven what they have written out of the Holy Word of God, with many proof texts. And now the question is, what must the Christian now believe? And that is a Christian with a capital letter. It is true, when we may be under the truth, under the Word of God, a great blessing, but young and old, we need to be wrought upon by the Holy Spirit. We have heard in the last Lord's Day that the instructors, that they have spoken of true saving faith. In Lord's Day number 33, there is spoken of true conversion. There can be much that comes close, and yet is not by the saving work of the Holy Spirit. And to that end, our instructors, they are also given to declare, in beginning, what a Christian must believe. Then it concerns the only, the true, the living God. We have heard in this morning that the apostle, that he has written concerning, that we must exhort one another not to depart from the living God. And how it is necessary in our lives, by the precious, by the loving, and by the irresistible work of the Holy Spirit, that God becomes real in our life. Then our instructors, when they speak of but one only divine essence, then they are given to speak of the true and of the living God. Then our instructors in this Lord's Day, then they are not given to speak whether there is a God. As a general rule, oh, it is true, there was much darkness, there was much superstition in the Middle Ages. The Lord has caused His light to shine in the darkness in the time of the Reformation. And although there was much error, there was yet much sincerity. Oh, in the church, although far gone, how sincere many were. They have felt that there is a living God. They have felt that they needed to be saved. There were impressions of today. Oh, there were those that have given all their money to free their loved ones from purgatory. It is true, there was much wrong. They were in error, but there was yet a people that was sincere concerning their never dying soul. They had an impression of eternity. How is that with us and our children in the busyness of time? Oh, have there come up souls in this evening hour, exercised with that today, exercised with your never dying soul, exercised with the living God? Oh, an impression of His goodness and of His mercy, but also an impression of His justice and holiness. In the time that our catechism was written, oh, it is true, I read in Psalm 14, verse 1, and also in Psalm 53, verse 1, that the fool has said in their heart that there is no God. Alas, we live in a time that there are many that even deny that there is a God. That is the desire of our fallen human nature, that we may be kings. How was that with us, congregation? Be now honest. Would you now be glad if there was no God? Be now honest. Would you now be glad if there was no God? Then we would not have to give an account. There are many in this world, they call themselves atheists. But Reverend Hellenbrook has explained it so clearly in his catechism book, and that is more a desire than a belief, because the Lord has created us. We have learned from Reverend Hellenbrook in that first lesson whence knowest thou that there is a God? From nature and from the scriptures. And now concerning that knowledge from nature, then there is also an innate knowledge, an impression that there is a higher supreme being that can be found when we read of missionaries that have went to the far corners of the earth, then among all people, then there is an impression that there is a God, an impression of right and wrong. There can be much error, and many times sacrifices are brought. When we speak of an atheist, then we can speak of one in theory that says it in his mind and in his heart, because in Psalm 14, verse 1, we do not read that the fool believes, but has said in his heart that there is no God. But then we may also speak of a practical atheist, one that lives and acts from day to day as if there is no God. I have read many years ago, when most people still went to church and where the Bible still had a place in most families, that in the state of Texas, to a little town, that a man has come who said he was an atheist and he wanted to have an opportunity in the community center to prove that there was no God, and that people were shocked. And the next day, then that man came to the post office. The postmaster had not been present, but since it was a man he had not seen, then that postmaster said, "Are you the man that has spoken yesterday evening, tried to tell us that there is no God?" He says, "I am." And then that atheist said to that postmaster, "Do you believe that there is a God?" He said, "I certainly do." And that atheist says, "I have one more question. Do you then serve that God?" And that postmaster did not dare to say. And how is it now with us, congregation? Oh, with our mind, our boys and girls have been taught that there is a true, that there is a living God. But how do we live? Do we now live that there is a living, a true, an eternal God, the creator of the heavens and of the earth, that is everything in his hand, that is so good doing, but also so just and so righteous, that he is of pure eyes to behold evil, and that he cannot live, that he cannot behold iniquity, a God that has declared in his holy word that today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart, but bow under that living God. Oh, then do we perhaps have to confess, although with our mind and with our confession, that we confess that there is a living God. But young and old, how do we live? Has it now ever become true in our life that there is one God, that there is a true God, that there is a living God, that there is an eternal God, and that we are traveling to eternity, a God to whom we must give an account? Since there is but only one only divine essence, why speakest thou of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Our second thought, three divine persons. Thus in this evening, boys and girls, we hope to speak about the Trinity as two words. Tri, that means three. And then if we add a U, we have that word unity. Thus then we are called upon to speak of one God of three persons. And that is a mystery so deep, so unfathomable. It is a mystery that must be believed, but that cannot be understood. Was once a man concerning that mystery. Oh, he believed the Bible, a very intellectual man. And then he was trying to fathom and to understand the mystery of one God and of three persons. And he was so perplexed. And then on a certain day, he was walking by the ocean. And there was a little boy with a pail that has dug a little hole. And that he went to the ocean and that he tried to put that ocean in that little hole that he had dug. And then boys and girls, you can understand that he could never empty that ocean. And then when he asked that little boy what he was doing, then that boy has told him, and then that man says, "My boy, that can never be." And at the same moment, then he was given to understand that that great, that living, that incomprehensible God, that we can never fathom it with our little mind. Elihu, in Job 36, verse 26, has declared, "A God is great, and we understand him not." Since there is but only one divine essence, why speakest thou of Father, Son, and Holy Ghost? Answer, because God has so revealed himself in his word. Then the instructors, by renewal, they are given to direct us to the holy word of God, a precious gift that the Lord has given unto the children of men by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And what a blessing the Word of God has been for sinners, for families, for churches, and for countries. By the proclamation of that Holy Word, mission fields, cannibals, they have been turned, and they have become God-fearing people. What a blessing the Word of God has wrought throughout the ages. May we be given to value, to appreciate, and to search the Word of God. I read in John 5, verse 39, "Search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of me, and in them ye think ye have eternal life." Then the Trinity, we can find so many texts in the Bible that clearly prove to us that there is one divine essence, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. We have learned them from Reverend Hellenbrook, many of them. How many can you remember, congregation? Therefore, it is so good for fathers and mothers that they may also be given to speak with their children what they have learned in catechism class, because we all have so much to learn. Then in the Old Testament, there are texts which speak of God in the plural. Already in the first chapter of the Bible, in Genesis 1, verse 26 and 27, "Let us make man after our image." There are texts in the Old Testament which speak of Lord and Lord, referring to different persons in the Trinity. Psalm 110, "The Lord said unto my Lord," that is the Father that was speaking to a Son, "The Lord said unto my Lord, sit thou at my right hand till I make thy enemies my footstool. Then further, then there are texts which clearly speak of the three divine persons. A Psalm 33, there we read, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and the host of them by the breath of his mouth. And Psalm 61, verse 1, there we speak, there we read that the Father has anointed the Son by the work of the Holy Spirit. Then concerning that Trinity, further and more clear declared in the New Testament, in Matthew 3, the verses 16 and 17, where John the Baptist was given to baptize the Lord Jesus Christ. Then we read that the Holy Spirit has descended like a dove, that the Father has spoken, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And the Son was baptized. And then further, then in the Gospels, we have read a portion out of John 14, and how clearly that Christ has spoken of the three divine persons. Then already in the first verse, he was speaking to the disciples, but they were still so ignorant, it was so hidden for them concerning the mystery of the Trinity. Then Christ has said to those disciples in the upper room in the night before he has suffered and died, ye believe in God, believe also in me. Then we have heard it of a Thomas and of a Philip, that they had questions concerning the Father and the Son, and that Christ, in the latter verses, that he was given to speak of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, who would teach, lead his church in all truth. We have mentioned Matthew 28, verse 19, the command to the apostles, where they were called upon to teach all nations and baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In 2 Corinthians 13, verse 14, with the benediction, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost, be upon you all. In John 5, verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. It is true. The Jehovah Witness, they shall not have that text in their Bible. And to that, let us add the importance for us and our children that we only use the King James Version. And that not in the first place concerning the word choice, because translation, that is a very difficult work. It is possible in different instances when we would examine another translation that perhaps they have even chosen a better word, undoubtedly. Also the other way around, that is not the main point. But the main point is that most of the newer translations, they are taken from different manuscripts that have been corrupted. And if we examine them closely, we have done it so with the young people about a month ago, to compare one of the other translations, and then we find so often that the meritorial work of the Son of God, of his blood, of his righteousness, that is omitted in the newer translations. Also the necessity of repentance. Thus let us remember, congregation, that we hold on to the King James Version, which it has pleased the Lord to bless already for so many ages in the midst of the church. And now concerning that the Trinity of God, one essence and three divine persons, that is a mystery so deep, so unfathomable, so mysterious, that it cannot be understood. Nevertheless, for our understanding, let us mention a few points. Then in the first place, then God is one in essence. And when we speak of three persons to make it simple for our children, then we must never understand that the Father is one-third, and the Son one-third, and the Holy Spirit one-third. No, each of the persons, they are true and eternal God, co-essential and co-eternal. Then in the second place, then we must never understand, because there are so many errors that have crept into the church already soon after the time of the apostles, that there were those that have declared concerning the Trinity that at the one time the Lord appears to his church in a certain mode as Father, another time in the person of the Son, and another time in the person of the Holy Spirit. Then in the third place, then we must understand, declared in God's word, that each of the three divine persons, that they are from eternity, Arius, in the year 318 with his followers, then he has declared that Christ was the first created being. Then in the fourth place, when we consider the three divine persons, then we must not understand the first and the last, although in the scripture it is usually in the order of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But we must understand that each of the three persons, that they are glorious. Then in the sixth place, that to all of the three divine persons, that all the attributes, Reverend Hellenbrook separates them from the incommunicable and the communicable attributes, that the attributes of the divine essence, that they are ascribed to each of the three persons. And now it is proven in God's word that each of those three divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, that they are true and eternal God. And that is proven in the first place by their names, in the second place by their attributes, in the third place by their honor, and in the fourth place by their works, clearly declared in the Holy Scriptures. And nevertheless, they are distinguished by their personal properties. A word is written in the Word of God that the Father is self-existence, that the Son, that he is begotten of the Father, and that the Holy Spirit, that he proceedeth from both, one only true and eternal God, and three divine persons. And now, congregation, now the wonder of the Trinity, because in that wonder there lies declared a possibility for us and our children to be saved. Oh, are there souls that have been exercised with the same? Because when the Lord works by his Holy Spirit, when we learn that the Lord is a true and living God, then we have not a knowledge of the three divine persons, but then we have to do with the Lord, who was so just, so holy, so majestic, also so good doing, that each time by renewal that he gives unto us and our children, yet a today, then the sinner learns that the Lord is so long-suffering, but he learns the justice of God, which flows forth out of his holiness, that the Lord is so just that he must punish each sin. And then a child of God, then he is brought in the need, because a child of God does not desire a different God, as declared in the Holy Scriptures. And then the child of God, then he is given to bow, then he is given to adore, then he is given to love all the attributes of the Lord. But how can a sinner now be saved? A sinner that has learned that he has ruined everything, that he departs from the Lord by his actual sins, and in the way of deeper uncovery with his original sin, then it becomes impossible for a sinner to be saved. But now in the Trinity, there lies the wonder of salvation, that as I read in Psalm 85, there it is read that the attributes of God, that they may embrace, that they may kiss one another. How can the Lord, a just God, now show mercy? That is now possible, that the Lord is triune. Let us first sing of Psalter 242, the fourth stanzas. Almighty God, thy lofty throne has justice for his cornerstone, and shining bright before thy face, and truth and love and boundless grace. 242, the four stanzas. the one only and triune God, a one divine essence, three divine persons, and thirdly, three divine works. How are these articles divided? And then the instructors there given to speak of three parts, the Father and our creation, a God the Son and our redemption, and of God the Holy Ghost and our sanctification. Article 1 speaks especially of the Father. Articles 2 through 7 of God the Son. And Articles 8 through 12 of the Holy Spirit. There are those, also John Calvin has even made a further separation, that he has spoken of the Articles 8 through 12 of the Church and the benefits which they receive, but that is by the operation of the Holy Ghost. When the instructors speak of these matters, of the Father and our creation, the Son and our redemption, and the Holy Spirit and our sanctification, then it is necessary to mention three points. When it speaks of the Father and our creation, ascribed unto the Father, then it does not exclude the other two persons. And that is so with all of those three matters. We have mentioned the text out of Genesis 1, the verses 26 and 27, and God said, "Let us make man after our image." In the second verse of Genesis 1, there it is written that the Spirit moved upon the face of the waters. We have mentioned Psalm 33, verse 6, "By the word of the Lord, that is the Son, were the heavens made. The Lord is Father, and by the breath of his mouth, that is the Spirit." Thus then it is clear that when the instructors speak of those matters, that it does not exclude the other persons. Then in the second place, when our instructors have mentioned those works ascribed to the three distinct persons, then we must not limit them to those works, because it is clear that their works extend further. To make it clear, when it says of the Father and our creation, then of course also the providence of God, that is especially ascribed unto the Father. Then in that answer, it does not say the Father and the creation, the Son and the redemption, the Holy Ghost and sanctification, but then three times it is mentioned our. And then each time by renewal we are called to examine our hearts, whether we are included in that our. It is true, as creatures, then the care of the Lord goes over all mankind. But now our instructors, they are given to speak of a Christian with a capital C. And now for the child of God, then what is necessary, what shall be experienced? Then for a child of God, when the Lord works by his Spirit, the first person to work. Does such a child know it then? And then in the first place, and then they shall receive the gifts of a triune God, merited by the Lord Jesus Christ, and granted by the work of the Holy Spirit, because they become partakers of faith, hope, and love. Then it is necessary for the true child that they are led into the works of the Trinity of God by the enlightening and instruction of the Holy Spirit. Then it is necessary that in those further leadings that they may come to a knowledge of the persons. Let us only mention the disciples. Then by the grace of God, by the work of the Holy Spirit, then they have tasted of the good things of the Lord. Then they were given to sit at the feet of the Master under his prophetical office. But now it was necessary. Those disciples were so blind. Christ, in this chapter in John 14, then he has spoken of his works. And now we read for those disciples in Luke 24, verse 45, on the evening of the resurrection, that he opened their understanding, that they understood the scriptures. Then they were led into the work of the Son of God, where he was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification, led into the priestly office, the priestly work of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they were given to understand what Christ has declared in the chapter that we have read together, John 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. But now they were led further. The time of the ascension, when they were given to return to Jerusalem rejoicing and worshiping the Lord, then they were given to understand that they had to be brought back, because the gates, Christ has opened the gates for his children to be brought back to the Father heart of God, and on the day of Pentecost to receive a knowledge of the third person and a richer outpouring of the Holy Spirit congregation, because that the Lord is triune, it is still possible for us and our children to be saved, but must be applied. It must be experienced in our heart. We are still living in today. Whether we shall have a tomorrow, whether we shall have another Lord's Day, that is hidden for us, and therefore the necessity that we may be given to hasten for our life's sake, that we harden not our heart. Oh, for the child of God, they have to confess that they are so ignorant. It is a blessing when the true child of God may hear what they have received. Oh, people of God, despise not the day of small things, but a privilege when they may hear what they may yet miss, when they may be brought in the need and to be given to beg for those further leadings. Oh, the church of God, we shall close. The church of God, then they may say, when they may be led further into the mysteries of salvation, when they may be given to learn who the Lord is and remains for his child, when they may be brought into the sanctuary as an Asaph, they may be given to declare with the psalmist in Psalm 23, verse 25, Whom have I in heaven but thee, and there is none upon earth that I desire beside thee. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we have heard of deep things which we cannot understand, which we cannot fathom, but which must be experienced by the work of the Holy Spirit. Lord, we are still living in today. Thou art still proffering peace and pardon. We humbly ask thee, may thou be the after preacher. May thou apply what is heard. Lord, grant that true saving faith. Leave us not to ourselves, but keep us under thy truth. Lord, we may commence another week. Wilt thou grant strength and courage for the labors which thou hast laid upon us? Wilt thou remember and help the mothers with the children in their home, the day, the night watches? Wilt thou help the fathers at work wherever they are called to be? Remember the children in school. Remember our youth that are attending higher institutions of learning. Wilt thou keep them that they depart not from the truth? May it please thee to keep from harm and danger. Wilt thou keep us from sin and temptation? We commend unto thee two widows that hope to remember that thou hast spared them for another year. Wilt thou grant a blessing for body and for soul? Lord, return us now safely to our homes. Forgive us of all of our sins. In Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 420, the fifth stanza. Let God be praised with reverence deep. He daily comes our lives to steep in bounties freely given. And what follows? The consistory still wishes to announce that for personal reasons, Hugo van Lira could not accept his position on the school board. Psalter 420, stanza 5. receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.